Bruchim Aboyim B'Shem Hashem. We would like, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, tonight to look at the upcoming Yom Tov of Purim, Abo Aleinu L'Toivo, especially as this week is Shabbos Zocher. This week is Shabbos Zocher, so in Hashem we will look at some of the parashiyos and the psukim with regards to Zocher, Amalek, and the title of tonight's shiur has been called Amalek versus Klal Yisrael, the fight for life, the battle for life. Let's begin, perhaps, with the Sifan Shulchan Aruch, Negea to all of us, where the Ramah tells us at the end of Hilchus Purim in Tofresh Tzadi Hei, Toiv la'asoik ma'at b'teira. It is a good thing to be oisek in Teira a little bit. Koidem sheyaschil b'su'uda. Before you begin the su'uda. Why should that be? So he says, the remez, the basis for a halacha like that is because it says, like, la'yehudim hoisa oira v'simcha. And as we know, the Gemara darshans, oira zu Teira. In fact, the Gemara in Megillah tells us, Rashi explains, shegozar homon shelo yasku b'teira. They should not be oisek in Teira. And therefore we do the exact opposite. When it comes before the Suda, we are oisek b'teira, and that's what the Ramah paskens la'alocha, toiv lasik ma'at b'teira koidem sheyaschil b'suda. So, on the surface, the Ramah seems a very simple halacha to understand, because Haman was geyser not to learn Teira, we were zeicher to learn Teira, la Yehudim oisa oira, oira zu Teira, and that's why it is a good thing to be oisek b'teira prior to beginning the Suda. What we would like to do, Be'ezus Hashem, is to explain this in greater depth, and in particular, perhaps let's just be medayek one word in this Ramah. The Ramah does not say toiv lil moid ma'at Teira, which would have translated, it's good to learn a little bit of Teira before the Suda begins. He doesn't say that. He says, toiv la'asik ma'at b'teira. And in fact, that was the Lashon of Rashi as well in Megillah, that Haman was geyzer shaloi ya'asku b'teira. They should not be oisek in Teira. It does not say that Haman made a gzera, that they should not learn Teira, but rather they should not be oisek in Teira. So this is what we'd like to explain in Mir Hashem this evening in the time that we have. What is this specific inyan that Haman made a gzera, that they should not be oisek b'teira, and in turn, we, prior to the Suda on Purim, are oisek b'teira. So if we turn our attention to Parashas B'Shalach, which is where the Milchama against Amalek, this is where it all begins. Klal Yisrael travel mi Midbar Sin, they come to a place called Rafidim, ve'ein mayim lishtois ha'om. There's no water. They complain to Moshe Rabbeinu, Tlunon Umayim, why did we leave Mitzrayim if we have to, Chas V'Sholom, die of thirst? And this is the place, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where Klal Yisrael complained, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Imayim. Klal Yisrael complained, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really exist amongst us? He doesn't seem to be looking after us. Vayovoi Amalek. Upon which, Amalek came to attack, Vayilochem im Yisrael Berefidim. And Amalek waged war against Klal Yisrael in Rafidim. This Loshem, this place called Rafidim, Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuvov, Bukhairis, Dafhei. What does it mean, Rafidim? Rafidim is really an amalgamation of two words. Rafidim, Rafu Yodayim. Rafu Yodayim. Says the Gemara, Sheripu Atzmon Midivrei Teira. They weaken their hands from Teira. Rafidim means Rafu Yodayim. Rashi says, Mufurush. Mipnei Sherofu Yodayim min HaTeira. Because they weaken their hands from learning Teira. Bo Aleihem Amalek. It's a medrash also in Parshas B'Shalach. In that parsha, Sherofu Yodayim min HaTeira. And that's why Amalek came to fight. And all of that is hinted to in this word, Rafidim. It took place in Rafidim. Rafidim, as mentioned, is an amalgamation of Rafu Yedehem. If we note very carefully, it does not say that they were not learning Torah. It doesn't say they were mevatel Torah and they closed their Gemara. Rather, Ripu Atzmon, or Rafu Yodayim. Rafu Yodayim means there was a certain slackening, a weakening. And this, by the way, would fit in very well in the Gemara. The Gemara Megillah tells us, Bishvil Atzlus, Shahoyalohem Yisrael, Sheloi Osku Batoira, that word Asek Hatoira again, the opposite of Asek Hatoira is not Bittul Toira. The opposite of Asek Hatoira is, in the Lashon of the Gemara, Atzlus, they were lazy in their Limud Toira, and that's why Amalek came to attack. And this is something that we would like to explain. It does not say that they were not learning. They clearly were learning. But they were learning in a fashion that was described as Ripu Yedehem. They weakened their hands. So, we need to understand, what does this mean to weaken one's hand from Torah? And why, when Klal Yisrael were Merapa Yedehem, when indeed they weakened their hands, so why was that punishable by the Milchama against Amalek? So the Ora Chaim HaKadosh in Parashas Beshalach gives us an insight into this parasha. And he also begins with the words, Shenis Atzlu Batoira. Klal Yisrael were lazy. Again, it doesn't say they were not learning, but they learned in a lackadaisical fashion, in a lazy manner. Says the Ora Chaim HaKadosh, we well know that Torah is compared to water, and Torah is compared to fire. If they were not learning Torah properly, rather they were nis'atzlu, so there was a lack of Torah, and that's why they had no water. That's why the Torah says, ve'ein mayim lishrois, they had no water, because mortar is comparable to Torah. So too, fire. Says the Loshen, let's read the words of Ora Chaim. Ve'loi nis'asku, again this word, esek. Ve'loi nis'asku b'milchamto shel Torah. Literally translated, they did not involve themselves in the battle of Torah, and therefore they found themselves in the fire of battle against Amalek. Torah is compared to water, they had no water. Torah is compared to fire, one has to be involved in the fire of battle in Torah. And if they were not, then they found themselves fighting a different type of battle, and that was against Amalek, also fire. Says the Ora Chaim in conclusion, therefore, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu sent Yehoshua bin Nun to lead the charges? He was the one who took Klal Yisrael to war. So he says, because about Yehoshua bin Nun, it says, it's a pasuk in Parashas Kisisa, Lo yomish mitoich ha'oil. Yehoshua bin Nun never left the tent of Torah. He was always involved in Torah. And therefore, he has to be the one to lead Klal Yisrael against Amalek. Amalek came to battle against Klal Yisrael because they were weakened in their Torah learning. Therefore, there is nobody more suited to lead the battle than Yehoshua ben Nun, who was always involved in Torah learning. So this, too, needs some deeper explanation. What is this concept, firstly, of Milchamto shel Torah, the battle of Torah? And why specifically was Yehoshua ben Nun? It's true, Yehoshua ben Nun learned Torah constantly, but where do we see that he was involved in Milchamto shel Torah? So I'd like to share with you what I saw in a sefer that we have quoted a number of times in the Shir, Yerach Lamoyadim, written by Rabbi Rucham Olshin Shlita, one of the Rosh HaYeshiva in Lakewood Yeshiva, a grandson-in-law of Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And he explains a very important yesod, and we'll see in Mitzvah Hashem that we can try and take this yesod a little bit further. The yesod that he shares with us is the following. We're all familiar with the psukim, the parashiyos, the sugyos of Orei Miklot. Somebody who kills v'shoigeg has to be exiled to Orei Miklot. And the Gemara famously tells us in Makkos Daf Yud, that if somebody has to go to Golos and he is a teacher of Torah, then his Talmidim must go with him. His Talmidim must go with him. So too the other way around as well. If a Talmid has to go to Golos, then the Rebbe must go to Golos with him. Why does the Talmid bring the Rebbe with him to Golos? So the Gemara says, because it says with regard to one who goes to Orei Miklot, V'chei, he's got to live. And if you've got to give him life, then you've got to give him his Rebbe. And the Rambam, when he codifies this halacha, says the famous words, the Talmid who goes to Golos must go with his Rebbe.
Because otherwise, the chaye bale chokhma. Because the life of somebody who is seeking chokhma, beloy talmud, if he's unable to learn, kemisa chashuvin is compared to death. This person who is sentenced to golus has absolutely not been sentenced to death. To the contrary, the Torah says, v'chai, he's got to live. I've got to provide him with everything that's called life. Torah is life. And if he cannot learn Torah without his Rebbe, then it's as good as killing him off. And the Torah mandates the opposite. Keep him alive. So we see the well-known Yesod, the tefillah that we daven every night in Maariv, ki heim chayenu v'orech yomenu, is very literal. Torah is indeed our life. And if the Talmid is therefore devoid of his Rebbe, then he's devoid of life. So when he goes to Golus, the Rebbe must go with him as well. We well know that when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, they had Har Kegigis, they had Har Sinai suspended over their head, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you don't accept the Torah, then you'll be buried here. In other words, you have no life source. Your connection to Torah is Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim. L'machazikim Bo. Those who hold on to Torah have a life source. And of course we know, the Gemara and Avodah Zarah tells us, this is why Klal Yisrael are compared to fish. A fish out of water cannot survive. Our water is Torah, as mentioned before, Ein Mayim Elo Torah. And we're all very familiar with the Gemara in Brachas, where Rabbi Akiva was found teaching Torah, even at dangerous times. And Rav Papus says to him, how could you do this? Aren't you aware of the danger? And Rav Akiva responded with a famous moshel about the fish swimming in the sea. They were worried, swimming backwards and forwards. They're about to be caught and trapped. So the wily fox peers into the water and says, you look so worried. Why don't you come out of the water and I'll look after you? So the fish look after him and they say, Shaita Shaba'ilam, you're supposed to be cunning and intelligent. If we leave the water, then we're definitely dead. So that's not going to help us to leave the water. That's our whole life source. So Rabbi Akiva said to Rav Papus, what are you telling me? That it's dangerous to learn Torah? Torah is our life. And without it, we are like fish out of water. So therefore, it's hardly a recommendation to stop learning Torah because of the danger. To the contrary, this is our life. This is our life. And Rav Chaim Volozhin, in his famous sefer Nefesh HaChayim Shaar Dalad, when he talks about the beauty and the importance of learning Torah, and he's the one who impresses upon us that Torah is indeed life. And that's why he quotes the pasuk, Loi Yomush Sefer HaTorah Azeh Mipicha. That's why the Sefer Torah must never leave you, just like a person can never leave life. Imagine a person says to himself, I'm fed up of breathing. I think I'm going to take a rest today. No breathing. If there's no breathing for a day, then there's no life. Lo yomish sefer ha-Torah azeh mipicha v'igiso bo yoimon v'laylo. Why must we be toiling in Torah yoimon v'laylo? Not just because it's important, rather because it's our life. And he says, just like a fish, as mentioned in Chazal, cannot live without water, we too cannot live without our Torah. He says also, if you can imagine a moshel, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, of somebody, Rachmona Litzlan, drowning in the sea, he will clutch, for all he's worth, in that branch that's floating at the surface, that may well save him, and he will not let go for a second, because he realizes, if he lets go the branch, then he's just let go of life. So too, he says, when a person realizes that Torah is his life, then he will not be misatzel, he will not be lazy, af rega echod, the yirpe yodov, and to weaken his hand, he will not do that. Because if he weakens in Torah, then he has severed his connection to life. We understand, therefore, that's what the Rambam meant. When the Talmid is exiled to Golus, you have to exile the Rebbe with him. Because if not, if you have not exiled the Rebbe together with the Talmud, then you've just taken his branch out of grasp. It's out of reach, and he's just had his life source and life force severed from him. The Talmud cannot go to Golus without his Rebbe. This is our life. And every single day, therefore, In the morning, Rabbi Yisrael Gusman pointed this out, that when we daven for Hatzlocha in Torah and we say, Avo Rabo, Ovinu, Ov, Horachamon, Rachim, Rachim, Oleinu, why are we imploring HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Lashonis that we don't find in the brachas of Refuah and Paranasa? And the answer is because this is the greatest tzeirich of them all. When we're asking for Hatzlocha in Torah, we are, in fact, asking for life. And that's why we are begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amarachim, Rachim, Oleinu, have mercy, have compassion, we need life. Let's come back now to Klal Yisrael and Amalek. As mentioned before, it does not say that they were not learning. Rather, it says, Rafu Yedehem mi Divrei Torah. What does it mean, Rafu Yedehem? They weaken, they slacken. When this person is drowning on the sea, he does not hold onto the branch with weak hands. He holds on with all his might, because he realizes that his life depends on it. When Klal Yisrael, therefore, were merape yedehem midivrei Torah, what that essentially means is that there was a lack of recognition, ki heim chayenu v'oirech yomeinu. They weren't fully living with this concept, that Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim. It is told, this is the way Rav Olshan describes his grandfather, that Rav Aaron Kotler, when he gave Shir in Lakewood, he gave it with such a fire. If somebody asked a kasha that he didn't disagree with, he would answer back in the most strong terminology, very sharply worded. And somebody once asked, why does the Rosh Hashiva speak like that? And he explained, can you imagine if somebody would come to you with a gun, threatening to kill you? Would you speak to your oppressor softly and decently and kindly? No! You would yell with all your might because you realize that your life is on the line. Rav Aaron Kotler, whenever he gave a shir, he was involved in milchamto shel Torah. That's what it means, the fight for life. When somebody is involved in learning, but he's involved properly in esek ha-Torah, he makes it an esek. Not chas v'sholom weakening his hands, not chas v'sholom learning in a lazy fashion, then and only then, he is showing that he clearly understands that Torah is in fact the source of life. Klal Yisrael, however, did not learn in that fashion. Rafu yedeyem, refidim, doesn't say they didn't learn. They did learn, but they learned in a very lackadaisical manner. They were holding on to the Eitz Chaim in a very weak fashion. So they clearly did not display the recognition that ki heim chayenu v'oirech yomeinu. That's what the Oirech Haim HaKadosh means when he says that they were not involved in the milchamta shel Torah. Torah has to be waged as a war because one fights for life. And if somebody truly understands and recognizes that ki heim chayenu, that Torah is indeed our life, then he will learn, not in a fashion of Rafu Yedehem, but rather he will learn as Milchamta Shel Torah. And if they didn't, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm afraid you'll have to be involved in a different type of Milchama. If it's not the Milchamta Shel Torah, then you're going to have to fight for your life in a different manner against Amalek. And who will lead the charges? It'll be Yeshua Ben Nun. Because Yeshua Ben Nun, as mentioned, about whom it is written, Lo Yomish, he never left the tent. Why did he never leave the tent? Like we said before. Because if somebody truly appreciates that the Torah is indeed our life, then just like you never stop breathing, so too you never detach yourself from Torah. That was the pasuk that Rav Chaim Volozhin quoted. If one truly understands, if one truly lives a life of Kihen Chayenu, then it's a constant asik of Milchamta Shel Torah. That was Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun, lo yomish na'ar mitoicha oihel. He never left the oihel. Which oihel? The oihel of Torah. Therefore, if Klal Yisrael over here are guilty of rofu yedeyem midivrei Torah, clearly displaying a lack of understanding, a lack of recognition that indeed Torah is kiem chayenu v'orech yomeinu, then the one who has to be mistaken that is Yeshua ben Nun. Because he clearly does recognize. That's why he never left the Oyel HaTorah. That is the Yesod that Rav Olshin shares with us in his Sefer Yerach L'Moyadim. What I'd like to just add in conclusion is a very important addition. Because it has not been explained to us if Klal Yisrael indeed displayed this lack of recognition of the centrality of Torah, of how Torah is indeed our life force, they didn't realize that this is in fact the battle for life, Milchamta Shel Torah, then why is it that Dafka Amalek come to seek battle against Klal Yisrael? We understand that the Midah Keneged Midah, if they were not involved in the battle for life, in other words, for Torah, so then they have to be involved in a different type of battle. That we understand. But why Dafka against Amalek? Why Dafka against Amalek? In fact, there's a Loshon of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in Kovetz Marmorim. And he says, we have to understand that the whole battle against Amalek all began because there was a Rifyon in Limud Torah. The more one is mechazik oneself in Limud Torah, the less Amalek have koyach. But why Amalek? Why Amalek? Why is it that Amalek, of all the nations of the world, why are they the ones who come to attack Klal Yisrael when there is no Milchamto Shel Torah? So in order to explain this, we'd like to go back to Pashas Toldos. The famous pasuk, when Yitzchak Avinu says to his son, HaKoil Koil Yaakov, V'hayodayim Yedei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov. The hands, however, are the hands of Esav. And we know what Chazal darshan, that when the koil of Yaakov is strong, meaning, when the koil, the voice of Torah, is heard in the Beis HaMedrash, then the Yadayim of Esav have no koyach to be misgaber over Klal Yisrael. When, however, there is no koil Yaakov, then there is a Yadayim Yedei Esav. There is an enormous question on that mimer of Chazal. Where do you see in the pasuk the HaKoil Koil Yaakov and Yadayim Yedei Esav work in opposite forces? Where does it say that where you have the Koil Koil Yaakov, then there are no Yadayim Yedei Esav? To the contrary, it says HaKoil Koil Yaakov and also Yadayim Yedei Esav. It doesn't say that if you have one, then you don't have the other. So the brother of the Vilna Goyen explains a phenomenal yisod. The koyach of Esav is with their yodayim. They fight a war. They live by their sword, and the sword is a weapon which is wielded in the hand. Says Rabbi Avram, the brother of the Vilna Goyen, that when Klal Yisrael produce the koil koil Yaakov, which means limud Torah on the Beis HaMedrash, then the Yodayim Yedei Esav are theirs. They have the koyach of Esav. That's what it means. When the koil koil Yaakov is strong, then the Yodayim Yedei Esav are strong. But in whose Yodayim? In the Yodayim of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael then receive that koyach. So therefore, the Torah doesn't mean that when there is a koil koil Yaakov, then there's no Yodayim Yedei Esav. To the contrary. When there's a koil koil Yaakov, then Klal Yisrael receive the Yadayim Yedei Esav. When, however, there's no koil koil Yaakov, then the Yedei Esav, that physical force, is restored back to Esav. This is the secret. This is what Shem told Rivka Imenu, that there are two nations over here. One is Yaakov, one is Esav. When one is up, the other one is down. Now we understand. When Klal Yisrael are up, in other words, when the Koil Koil Yaakov is strong, then we have the Yodayim Yedei Esav as well. When Klal Yisrael do not produce the Koil Koil Yaakov, then the Yodayim Yedei Esav are restored back to Esav. If that's the case, the picture is now complete. Esav had a son called Eliphaz, and Eliphaz had a son called Amalek, as is told to us in Parshas Vayishlach. So Amalek is the grandson of Esav. So now we understand the whole story. When Klal Yisrael are not producing the Koil Koil Yaakov, when they are learning in a lazy manner, they're not clutching hold to the Torah like the person drowning who clutches onto the branch to save his life, then we lose the Yodayim Yedei Esav. Then we don't have that physical koyach, and it goes back to Esav. But who is the grandson of Esav? The grandson of Esav is Amalek, and that's why Amalek come to attack. We asked before, we understand the Midah Keneged Midah, that if Klal Yisrael are not involved in the Milchamta Shel Torah, then they have to be involved in a physical war. But why against Amalek? Now we understand. Because Amalek is the Enochel of Esav. That's Klal Yisrael's nemesis. If we're not producing the Koil Koil Yaakov, then the Yodayim Yedei Esav is wrestled from our hand and it's restored back to Esav and his descendants, namely Amalek. So now we understand exactly what's happening over here. And in fact, if you look at a Medrash in Parshas Toldos, it's all written there in one line. When Yaakov is merakin b'koiloi, when he weakens his koil, Yedei Esav Shoyltos, then the hands of Esav can overcome. Diksiv, as it is written, Vayeloinu kolo'eda vayovoi Amalek. So the Medrash clearly tells us, black and white, that the fact that Amalek is coming, that is a manifestation of the Yadayim Yedei Esav being restored back to Esav. Because Esav's descendant is Amalek. And this is the Yisrael, therefore, of Purim. Purim is when we have to be mechazik the koil koil Yaakov. And then that's when we have the Yadayim Yedei Esav restored back to us. And that's always been our secret. When the great Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer was producing his great work, the Eben HaOzel, so the particular volume on Kodshim was actually published in the middle of the Holocaust. And he writes in the introduction, this sefer was produced Bo'es Hatav'eiro HaGdoilo, at the time that all of Europe is up in flames. B'chol Ho'oilom Eish, there's fire. And he writes, is this therefore the time to start producing a sefer on the intricate halachas of Korbonos and Hezberim in the Rambam? Avol be'emes ein kan she'elo, writes the Eben HaOzel. There's no question whatsoever. The question is a non-starter. To the contrary. If Europe is up in fire, then how would you put out that fire? With mayim. Ein mayim eloteiro. In fact, we know that Yeshua ben Nun, the Gemara tells us, in Erev in Daf Samach Gimel, was about to wage war, and the Malach comes and tells him, you must involve yourself in Torah. You have to be lon ba'umka shel halacha. That's the secret in battle. If you want to be matzliach in battle, we have to hear the koil koil Yaakov loud and clear. If we go back to Matan Torah, when Har Kegigis, Har Sinai is suspended above our heads, and the Medrash tells us, we've mentioned this Medrash many times, that the reason why it was suspended over our heads, Klal Yisrael were more than happy to be mekabel the Torah. They said, Nasa v'nishma. Why did they need to be forced? And the answer is, because they needed to be forced into Esek HaTorah, in the hard toil of Torah, the Milchamta Shel Torah. That's not an easy proposition. So initially it was forced. But what happened on Purim, says the Gemara in Shabbos, Kimu v'kimu. They were mekabel the Torah once again, not coerced, but rather berotzin. This Esek HaTorah, this Milchamta Shel Torah, even though it was once upon a time forced upon us, but on Purim we learned our lesson once and for all. If Klal Yisrael are merape yedehem, if we don't fight, this is the battle for life. If we learn Torah in a very lazy, lackadaisical fashion, thereby displaying a lack of recognition that Kiyem Chayenu Boirech Yomeinu, the Koil Koil Yaakov is on a very low flame. So the Yodayim Yedei Esav is restored back to Esav and his family, namely Amalek. And indeed, that's why Amalek came. And they fought. If you're not going to be involved in the Milchamta Shel Torah, you'll have to fight a very different physical battle of Yodayim Yedei Esav. On Purim we learned our lesson. On Purim we decided once and for all we'll be mekabel on ourselves Esek HaTorah Mirotzin, not being forced. That was a tikkun for all of our misdemeanors against Amalek, meaning for the Rofu Yedayim. If our hands weakened in Limud Torah, there was an atzlus in Limud Torah, then the tikkun was La Yehudim Hoysa Oira. What particular Oira? Esek HaTorah. That's what happened on Purim. On Purim, the circle was finally closed. all those years of perhaps learning Torah, berifyun yodayim, not understanding that this is kiyem chayenu v'erech yomenu, kimu v'kiblu. We were now makabel Torah merotzen. What does that mean, makabel Torah merotzen? Esek ha-Torah. Esek ha-Torah. We were makabel merotzen to involve ourselves in milchamto shel Torah. And if that's the case, we now understand the Ramah that we began with. The Ramah told us that Toiv la'asik ma'at b'Torah koidem sheyaschil b'suda. Before you begin the Purim Suda, you should be oisik in Torah. And we were medayik. It does not say Toiv lilmoid Torah. Limud Torah was never our problem. Our problem was that there was not an asik in Torah. There was not a milchamta shol Torah. And that's what the Ramah is instructing us. That before you begin celebrating your Purim Suda, you first have to understand why it is that you're celebrating in the first place. And the answer is, you're celebrating, the whole cause of celebration is because there's an asik of Torah. Not merely a limud of Torah. If there's a mere limud of Torah, that could be berifyun yodayim. That could be in a very weak fashion. That could be atzlus in Torah. That's not good enough. As Rashi told us, Haman was goyzer shelo yisasku b'Torah. But there shouldn't be an asik ha-Torah. The tikkun for Haman's gezeira that there shouldn't be an asik ha-Torah is that we, before we begin our celebration, we are oisik in Torah. And this, therefore, is the yesod of Purim. Klal Yisrael versus Amalek is indeed the battle for life. Where is the milchama going to be fought? Is it going to be a milchamta shel Torah with an understanding kiyem chayenu v'erech yomenu? Or is the koil yakev going to be diminished, weakened, rifi in yodayim? Because then the yodayim yodei Esav are restored back to Esav and to his descendants Amalek. And then we have to chas v'shalom fight a very different type of milchama. Let's just conclude with the following story. In 1967, the Six-Day War, those older than me will clearly remember it, and the tension therein. For 6 days it wasn't clear how this tremendous milchama would turn out. Thousands of lives of Klal Yisrael were on the line. I heard from Rav Shlomo Zafrani Shlita, who was learning in Ponovich at the time. He once said that because of all the tension, because of the will to know what's going to happen and what had been happening, several Bochrim there in Ponovich were leaving the Beis HaMedrash repeatedly, going into their rooms and turning on their old-fashioned radio to hear the latest news. What's happening in the battlefront? Who's winning? What's happening to Eretz Yisrael? What's happening to Klal Yisrael? And this was causing a rifyon in the Beis HaMedrash. As you can imagine, every 5 minutes, Bochrim are going in and out and updating on the news and what's happening on the news. So the Yeshivas Ponovich decided they need a chizuk, and they called in the great Magid, Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, Zecha Tzadik Levrocha, to be Mechazik the Bochrim. This is what I heard from Rabbi Zafrani, he was there. And Rabbi Yankel Galinsky addressed the Bochrim, and he says, Moirai v'Raboisai, I hear that Bochrim are leaving the Beis HaMedrash to turn on their radios to hear the latest news. He said to them, I want to tell you how absurd this is. He says, can you imagine, there on the battlefield in the front line, there has reached a major pivotal moment of the whole war. And there's a major decision to be made now, and this is going to influence the whole outcome of the battle. And the two army generals are debating, what should we do? Should we now land this big bomb on the enemy that could finish off the battle? On the other hand, if it goes wrong, they'll retaliate, we'll put ourselves in danger, and they're not sure what to do. And there's tremendous tension within the troops. There's tremendous tension up and down the country. Everybody's waiting. What's going to be the decision? And these two generals cannot come to a decision. Should we bomb the enemy? Should we not bomb the enemy? Yes, no, no, yes, back, front, milers, chesreinos, what should we do? And they cannot come to a final decision. And all of the country is waiting with bated breath. One of the generals turns to his friend and says, you know, I have an idea. If we can't come to a decision, we're not sure what's going to be. Let's turn on the radio and we'll hear the news. We'll hear what happened. The general turns round to him and says, Shaita Shabailam, you're going to turn on the radio to hear the news? We're making the news. The news is reporting the decision that we're going to make. How totally absurd. If we can't make a decision, we should turn on the radio to hear what decision is made. Whatever decision we make, whatever we do, that's what's going to be reported on the news. We're making the news, said Rabbi Uncle Galinsky. That's the moshel. The nimshel is exactly the same. Do you think the battle, the Six-Day War, is being fought there in the battlefield? It's here, b'melchamta shel Torah, in the Beis HaMedrash. If only the Koil Yaakov would be strengthened, then automatically the Yodayim Yidei Esav would have no effect over Klal Yisrael. How absurd it is, he says, to leave the Beis HaMedrash to hear what happens in the battlefield, to hear the news. Here in the Beis HaMedrash, you're making the news. Whatever you do here in the Beis HaMedrash, that's what we will report it on the radio. How totally absurd it is to leave the Beis HaMedrash to hear what's being reported on the news, where here and there in the Beis HaMedrash, you are the ones making it. This is the story of Purim. If there's Chas V'Shalom a Rofu Yedeya Medivrei Torah, then that becomes the news. The news is Vayavay Amalek. If, however, we are Oisek in Torah, there's a Milchamta Shel Torah, we realize Kihem Chayenu V'Erech Yomenu, the Koil Yaakov is strong, then indeed the Yodayim Yedei Esav are ours. And that Koyach is wrestled away from Esav and his grandson Amalek, and they cannot get the better of Klal Yisrael. So Mitz Hashem, this Purim Abaleinu L'Toiva, which is less than a week away, let's be Mekayim the Ramah of Toiv Lasik B'Torah. Not just Lilmoid Torah, but to really be Oisek in Torah, the Milchamta Shel Torah. And then indeed we could be Zeicher to a Purim Sameach, La Yehudim Hoysa Oira, Oira Zu Torah, the Simcha, the Sosein Bikar.